Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are in studio live this week again with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion out of her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. We also have all the way from Louisville, Kentucky, Kim Skaggs. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Shelley. Good to be with you, too.
We're always glad to have you on the show. It's a delight to connect with you, even if you are calling from Kentucky. Now, we love Kentucky, don't get me wrong. I spent some time there myself. But just a delight to have you with us on the show tonight. Thank you so much. We're going to look at two chapters. He taught there was no them, and he took it to the bone. Wow. Mm-hmm. Once you find out there's no them, then you take it to the bone, Lori? Is that how this works?
Finding out there is no them is taking it to the bone.
Yeah. And so very interesting principles here as we look at the concept of what it means to be an Omega leader. And we haven't defined that in a few shows. Can you tell us what we're talking about here, what an Omega leader is, does?
An Omega leader is someone who combines the authoritative Omega style, Alpha style, with the cooperative Beta style and transcends both of those into the Omega style, which is what Jesus did.
Love that definition. And so we're looking at this text for this principle or this chapter. He taught there was no them. Matthew 25:40. Whatever you have done to the least of them, notice the word them, you have done to me. So let's look at what's behind this them word as you kind of unpack what you were thinking and processing and holding as you wrote this particular chapter.
Well, the capacity for us to blame someone else for our shortcomings goes back to the very first story of humankind in Genesis, where it's not me, it's that wife you gave me that made me do this. Not me, it was that serpent that made this happen. And so we have basically been a group of blamers, and we still hear that today. When the failure to take accountability for our own behaviors, there's always some reason some excuse why we're not responsible. Mm-hmm. And Jesus really taught that it's not about them, it's about you. Whatever you've done to the least of them, you've done it unto me. And whatever you've done to yourself, you've done it unto me. It's this really mystical concept of oneness that he came to teach us, to quit these artificial boundaries of separation and also quit trying to blame everybody and start taking ownership for our own spiritual growth and our own destiny.
Your thoughts, Kim?
I love that. And, you know, you mentioned, you go on, after quoting that scripture in Matthew, Lori, you go on to mention later in the chapter about blaming the externals versus addressing the internals. And you write, if you really want to get down to business, recognize that it's always going to come down to God and you. And as Omega leaders, I think we need to pay attention to the fact that our lives are a book. And we need to ask ourselves what we're writing. What is our message? Because the most effective leader is one who builds others. And that internal voice will show us how to lead and how to influence effectively if we pay attention to it. And last night, we've started these path group coachings. And I shared a story last night in group about a woman who had died and gone to heaven. She was, an upright and good person. She was benevolent, she was conscientious, she was a leader in her community, in her church. She taught Sunday school for years and elementary children as a profession. And anyone who would look at her life would say that she was a good person with lots of fruit. But she actually passes away, and she's standing before the Lord, and they're reviewing her life. And she is shown a day when she's walking down the street and she passes this homeless man. And instead of averting her glance or moving to the other side of the street or ignoring him completely, she looks him in the eye and she smiles at him. And he returns her smile. Now, because his smile was sincere and came directly from her heart, heaven recognized this. Jesus recognized this as the one true accomplishment, the one act that warranted recognition, if you will, of a lifetime of works, a smile. And in that moment, she was truly emulating Christ, or for the purposes of this call, being a true and impacting leader, because she listened to that internal voice that said, show him he has value. Mm. You know, she was doing it unto the least. And the most effective leaders are those who will build others up.
Wow. You know, I'm sitting here thinking of kind of laughter and joy is bubbling up. My friend Linda Marple, who I went to New York with, we've known each other since high school, she is flying over the Pacific even as we speak on her way to a family reunion in Hawaii. And when we were in New York, she was in Central Park. She'd never been to New York City, and so she went to Central Park, and she wears these kind of, in her words, strange-looking shoes because she has some feet issues, I suppose. So she sat down on a bench, and there was a woman, an older woman, who also happened to have on these same kind of weird shoes. You can picture the wigwam shoes that Tom Shelley had with the toes. So they were that kind of strange. So Linda said hello to her, and the woman didn't say anything. And so Linda said, okay. So she pointed to her shoes, and then she pointed to the lady's shoes, the similar shoes, and she smiled. And the woman just gave her a real frown. And then Linda did it again and kind of laughed. And so she was saying, look, we're alike. We both have the same shoes. And so, but nothing happened. So the woman stood up. She gathered up her bags, and she looked at Linda, and she said, shut up.
That's crazy.
And she walked off. And so I'm just thinking, you know, that Linda made her best effort to relate to this woman, saying, look, we're both in the same shoes. And the woman just would not receive. She said, shut up. Linda came back. She says, I love New York.
Now that's priceless.
Yeah. Wow. We're all in the same shoes. We're in the same shoes, but some of us don't appreciate the connection, I think.
Very, very interesting. I'm wondering, Lori, if you can talk for a little bit about this internal and external paradigm and how that paradigm affects how we treat them, what you're calling the them in this section. What are you referring to here?
Well, in the chapter, and our listeners can go along with this, so complete this sentence. I can't do this because of them. Right? There's a blank, them. I would have been so much further along in my life if it hadn't been for them. Mm. Can you believe what they are doing? Here's another one. They are threatening this entire operation or even this country. and how might your team fill in this sentence? We can't do blank because of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I look at that and reread that, I can think of 100 times I've filled in those blanks.
Sure.
I can do it right now.
Yeah, me too.
You know, ex-bosses, ex-husbands, ex-friends, ex-corporate CEOs, ex-presidents. You know, who are we blaming our problems on? There's always a them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading the late night political jokes, and I think it was Jay Leno that said something about, you know, we don't need terrorists to terrorize America. All we just need is Thanksgiving with our family for internal terrorists. but you know, what if we took the newspaper, just went through a newspaper, those who still read the paper or the news and look at the them versus the we, and particularly political campaigns. We can't do this because of the, you know, the super committee could not do this because of whatever. And Jay Leno said that they met another 6 months and decided to come up with a committee that they called the super duper committee.
Wow.
To solve the problem. So what is it in each of us that finds a them that we can blame? The media.
What's at the core of that?
A refusal to explore and accept our own divine inheritance.
Tell us more.
Well, if we knew there was no them, and the reason, the only reason that we can't do what we think we want to do, for the most part, is because of us. We're the ones that are blocking ourselves. And in the chapter, I talk about doing this exercise with corporations where, you know, the manager says, I've got an unhappy team. And so I say, all right, well, give me a couple hours with them. And sometimes the managers sit in and sometimes they don't. And so I take a whiteboard and I write the words less of. And I say, okay, I want you to tell me everything you want less of in this department. And one manager said, oh, we're going to be here all day. Two, it's just been my experience that the less of complaints never go longer than 35 minutes, 40 minutes. When you open up people and say, what do you want less of, less of, less of, and you just keep writing it down, you don't argue with them, you don't, pretty soon they run out of complaints. And then I put an I or an E and I say, okay, let's label, is this an internal problem or is it an externally caused problem? And invariably, when I total the scores, it's 15% are external, 85% are internal challenges that they themselves can solve. And if they could solve those, and yet those 85% consume probably 85% of their complaining. So if you shifted that, you might get some answers and some action instead of complaints and whining.
Yeah, so Kim, did you find that interesting as you prepared for this call about, you know, in the work that you do as a coach, this whole internal, if coaches, particularly path coaches, we like to say are creating movement, do you find this internal, external component prevalent in your work? What does that look like?
I find it imperative because unless each of us individually sit down, I mean, obviously on a corporate level or on a team level you can do this, but, you know, teams and corporations are made up of individuals. And unless we are willing and courageous enough to sit down and really examine ourselves and what we need less of, and what we need more of, we will not experience a lot of change or movement externally or internally, but I think it starts always internally.
Yeah, I love that. This chapter has given me another tool, you know, just to kind of evaluate when I bump up against something, you know, is this an internal feeling, or is this external? And
yes.
If it's external, what can I do about it? Is there anything that I can change about it? Probably not much, you know, given whatever the situation might be. But internally, you know, I have that ability to evaluate and determine how that might affect the external.
Yes, and adjust if you need to.
Yeah, right.
So what's an example from either of you two, you know, a real-world example that you can talk about?
Do you have one, Kim?
Let me think a minute. Go ahead, Shelley, if you've got anything.
You know, I'm thinking about a situation over this last year. I've been involved in some different kind of works with different people. You know, some in the church, some out of the church. And there's you know, sometimes we make the right move, or we do the right thing, and sometimes we don't. We make a mistake, or we judge too quickly, or whatever it is. But internally, I believe if we're checking and balancing internal and external feelings around particular projects or people groups or tasks that we're doing, you know, I think there's reminders that come up. And for me, over the last couple of weeks, you know, there's one situation in particular, you know, that I'm measuring this kind of internal barometer. You know, could I have handled that differently, or could I have said something in a different way, or you know, was I showing leadership, or was I showing something else? And so I think those internal anchors and those places that we can monitor, you know, it's a great reminder. And I don't know if I'm answering your question, Lori, or not, but I think for me, in rereading this and being a part of this call, I'm wondering if I can use internal and external forces in a different way than I ever have before. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on your side, Kim?
Well, you know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about relationships specifically, and how we can have relationships that may be taxing or trying or painful. You know, Jay Leno's joke about going home for Thanksgiving and, you know, equating it to terrorism is a great example. But I think that, you know, I'm thinking of one relationship in particular that's been a very long-standing relationship, and several months ago, the dynamics of the relationship changed, let's put it that way, and not in a positive way. And initially, because I was internalizing, you know, what was going on in this relationship, I had a very, very negative overview of this person. But as the months have gone on and I have internalized in a positive way, the reality of what was and what is, and how that, you know, this person is coming from a position or a stance of being rather wounded and broken with, you know, from circumstances that have nothing to do with me. It's enabled me to look at this person and this relationship from another perspective, because internally, I am not taking the responsibility of the weight of the demise of the relationship. Does that make sense?
Hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's all in perspective. You know, again, 6-8 months ago, I was looking at it, and I was upset, and I was offended, and I was hurt, and all of that because of the way this thing has rolled out. But standing back and really reflecting and assessing and listening to my own heart, you know, it's enabled me to see this, I think, with a more accurate overview, or from a more accurate vantage point.
Right. And Lori, I think in the book you talk about when Jesus went into his hometown and he tried to do the miracles and the scriptures, but it says he couldn't do much in Nazareth. And because of these strongholds that were there, so that's an external, right? The strongholds were an external piece. Instead, it says he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief, which became an internal piece. And so when we're in these situations, this whole external-internal barometer, to me, is just it's a great clearing exercise for not blaming, for not creating them or us, right? I just think it's a great tool, and I know we need to move on, but do you have any last thoughts on that, Lori?
Well, I just would encourage our listeners to walk around for a day thinking there is no them in terms of blame or obstacles.
Mm.
And how does that shift your thinking and your actions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a powerful action statement. So I love this next principle. He took it to the bone, you know, as an Omega leader. And of course, Jesus's mission was about bringing life, right, and bringing light. The intent here is, I believe that you're trying to communicate is that our mission really should be in the marrow of our bones, and we feel it there. But talk to us about your sense about how Jesus as a leader took it to the bone.
Well, there's the notion of in the bone. There's a great book, Writing Down the Bones, for people who like to write. I can't remember. I think it's Natalie Goldberg who wrote that. In the bones, it's sometimes maybe you've said, I just knew it in my bones that this was a good thing to do. I just, there's a knowing beyond even faith where you just know that it's right. And in the chapter I talk about, I had a shoulder injury from a horse that had bolted suddenly when I was grooming him and knocked me down and injured my shoulder. And 6 months of physical therapy, cortisone shots, you name it, and it was still aching. And so I went to an acupuncturist, and she began to twirl those little needles that are the size of a hair all over my body. And I was talking to her while she was doing it, and she said there's four levels of chi, and chi is energy. And the first one is kind of like the halo effect, or the outer, it's the invisible outer core of the body. And then the next one is the skin and the muscles. And then underneath that is the internal organs. And then the fourth and deepest level is the bones, in the bones. And so, and I was thinking about corporations. Corporations have this kind of chi. They have energy, too. There's the reputation, you know, the corporate reputation. And then there's the structure, the internal, the executive level, the team itself, and then there's the bones of the mission of that organization. In our bones, this is who we are, and we're going to expand that way. So the question is, in your bones, do you know what your mission is? What did you come here to do? That's your bone structure. Everything else hangs on that. Your muscles, your eyelashes, everything hangs on those bones of purpose. Shelley.
Wow. Kim, your thoughts?
Well, you know, Lori, you know, you wrote about how, you posed the question, how did Jesus give his team and in the bones knowing? And he did it through physical demonstration and spending time with them, walking with them, taking them to the sacred places. He had an in-the-bone sense of connection with them. And I think, you know, I've heard it said that we teach others what we know, but we reproduce what we are. And he took them.
Say that again.
We teach others what we know. We teach others what we know, but we reproduce what we are. And Jesus took them with him. I think as a leader, if you are going everywhere alone, you're going to be building a very small team. You know, I think we need, as leaders, to take people with us to observe,
right,
to learn, to impart to, and to really discover the people that are closest to us, and always be cognizant of the fact that while we may be leaders, we can also learn by seeing through their eyes, you know, and asking them, because leaders, leading and mentoring should be teaching us as well, teaching the leader as well. And, you know, your team may be your employees or your family or your ladies group or your golf partner. But if you aren't learning from them, you know, you may need to reassess your ability and effectiveness and, again, dare I say it, even your right or authority to lead. Because I think we must earn the right to lead others. And I personally believe it starts with a willingness to follow and serve, even if it's at our own physical, mental, or financial expense, before we should be entrusted with the role of leading others. So I think we have to take people with us. Jesus did. Invest in them, build them, further them, because this is really the heart of a true leader.
You know, as you're talking to him, I'm thinking of, you know, what you said about choosing who you're with and how you're serving them. I've been enjoying Rumi, the Sufi poet, again recently, and there was a quote that I read last week that said, "All your associations bear progeny. Be therefore careful whom you associate with."
That's good.
Yeah. That is powerful.
That is good, yes.
You know, what I like about this image, Lori, that you've given us, these different layers, and Kim, this kind of speaks to what you have shared as well, is I don't think we go deep enough in understanding the mission of, you know, the who we are part, Kim, that you said just a few minutes ago. It's that piece. And I don't think we get the layer thing because, you know, in Scripture, you know, the, I can't think of the text right now, but the some 30, some 60, and some 100, when we're talking about fruits or not necessarily works of a person, but more the result of that spiritual life or that walk of faith, that there's always going to be somebody that's just starting at the gate and maybe somebody that's over there, you know, getting ready to pass through the gate. And so this layered image, Lori, of what did you say, this kind of halo, and then it moves into skin and muscle and these internal organs, and then ultimately the bone. You know, I wonder if we're not as significant in our omega leading because we don't go deep enough into the bone, and so it's easy to see that there is a them on the other side that's keeping us from it. Whether it's in our own mind, whether it's a spiritual situation or a natural impairment, whatever it is, I just wonder if we don't go deep enough.
Well, it's true, and of course with the word bones, I'm thinking of scattered bones in Ezekiel, and I'm thinking of the imagery of elephants that when they're leaving, when they're moving on and an elephant has died, the entire herd will come and literally caress the bones of the skeleton of that elephant before they leave.
Of the elephant?
Yes, of the deceased elephant. Each elephant in the herd, and if it's a young elephant, the mother, or if it's a child that lost its mother, they will stay the longest. And they just lift up the bone and they bring it to their heart and they smell all along it, and it's like the essence of who that being was. So what are our bones made of? what's the infrastructure of our day and our actions? What did we come here to do, and are we really living it, or are we, like Kim says, maybe just preaching it but not reproducing who we are?
Yes.
We've got just about a minute and a half here. I love this Spanish word, but I'm not quite sure how to say it. Lori, maybe you can know.
De hueso colorado, which means it's literally built into the bones.
Wow. Think about having that kind of leadership or department or organization or corporation or family. Or relationship. You know, what would that be like? Built in, literally built in to the bones. Wow. Deep. Kim, last few minutes here.
The scripture you quote in Ezekiel, Lori, is about the prophet speaking life to a cemetery. The way I see that, of broken possibilities. God asked him, can these bones or these possibilities or dreams live again? And he responded, you know, God. Sure, God knew. But he was instructing Ezekiel to use his mouth to speak life. As leaders, we are and should be speaking life to those around us so that they will resurrect, so that new life can come. That leadership should be used to influence, to build, and impart mission and vision. And Jesus told the disciples, I'm asking you to go into the world and tell people about me. He spoke life to their purpose. He put flesh on bones.
Oh, beautifully said. Go out and make it a great week. Live it in the bone. And know that there is no them.
Very well.
Amen.
Thank you, Kim, so much for being on the show. We look forward to talking with you again soon. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week.
Thanks, Shelley. Feliz Navidad.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.